Purple Talon Warriors, commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Hey, here we are. Hey, forget that song. Shut that crap off. What you want is the Movies Hate You show. That's who we are. Welcome.
Welcome to the Movies Hate You show.
Wow. That's the best you can do, huh?
That's so far.
What happened to Todd? Are they supposed to help you with that every week?
So we're a little bit late in case
we're
you're
a little bit late.
Wondering what happened to
we're
us.
A little bit late, which means we probably lost most of our seven listeners. We probably lost. But we're here. Technical difficulties. That's why the hair metal pirate station took over, I guess. The hair metal station took over for a little while. But we're here. We're going to be going to 8 o'clock, but we'll be going the full hour if you tune into the archives starting in the next couple days when this show, tonight's show, October 1st, 2013, tonight's show, when that's archived, you'll be able to hear the full thing. So if we happen to say something interesting by then, you'll be able to hear it.
Second
but
chance.
You will be cut off at 8 o'clock. And the next Jackalope show will have a flub, I'm sure, and come in after that. To my left is the my personal Asian valet, the man who puts the poo in poo-poo platter, Mr. Ree, Lee Peterson. Welcome.
Arigato.
Domo no arigato. Arigato. And on the boards, or just sitting around, I should say, is Todd Sheets, our producer.
God, I feel like it today, man. I got to apologize to all the listeners because for some reason, my computer is just now saying it's 6:08. And so I was ready to bring everyone in on time, but the damn thing just basically was off. So I apologize to all of our faithful Movies Hate You listeners worldwide. We love you, man.
Yes.
You know what it is? It's the government shutdown.
It's the government shutdown.
The government
shutdown. This is the government shutdown edition of Movies Hate You. But we have nothing to do with the government, though.
Well, hey, wait a second. You know, I just had this thought on the way home. Is the FCC shut down?
Probably not.
No?
No. Todd? Is the NSA shut down?
I don't know. If the FCC is shut down, I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
Balls. All right? Balls. I said it.
But I don't think this show is regulated by the FCC because it's an internet radio show.
Oh.
Are you regulated by the FCC, Todd?
No.
Right. So you could say balls all you want.
Bollocks.
Or bollocks. You could say bollocks. Anyways, a Movie Hate You show. What are we doing tonight? What are we talking about?
Breaking Bad. Anybody watch that show?
The big Breaking Bad finale. Yeah, finalis. There we go. I saw it. I've seen every episode.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I've seen none of the entire series.
Oh.
And so I thought I would conduct an experiment and watch the season finale because everybody's talking about it. I want to be part of the zeitgeist.
Oh.
I thought, you know what? I'll probably be able to pick up. I'm fairly smart. I'll be able to understand kind of what's going on.
Wait a minute.
It'll be interesting to see.
But there were like 62 episodes. How can you just pick up on the season finale? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Are you going to watch the whole series in reverse?
That's an idea. I might.
I think that would be interesting.
No, you know what? Here's the thing, though. I was able to follow it. I didn't know who the characters were, but it was obvious by the way the show was written what their relationship was. And there's a fair amount of exposition. So, I mean, okay, I knew the guy. I knew the guy was a science teacher, and he started making meth. I understood all that. I didn't really know anything else besides.
No, wait
that.
A minute. Not only did he start making meth, he becomes a drug kingpin, right, so to speak, over the course. Not in a traditional sense, but over the course. But you miss some of the best written episodes in television history.
Just you didn't miss them. They're still there.
Well, you missed them when they aired.
I watched.
You missed them on Netflix.
All this, all year, everybody I know was saying, you got to watch Breaking Bad. Got to watch Breaking Bad. It's better than The Sopranos, the best show ever on TV.
A million times better.
And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to watch it now. I'm going to go back. I'm going to watch it from the beginning. I'll watch six seasons, right?
This is the fifth and final season. Yeah.
Five seasons. And then I knew, there's no way I'm going to do this in a week.
Right.
I want to watch this. Everybody's talking about it. I just want to see it. I just want to see.
You want to see it live with everyone else.
Well, not necessarily live, because I had to actually download it and watch it the next day. But here's the deal.
Okay.
I get the newspaper in the morning.
You didn't pay your AMC subscription rate?
I subscribe to...
It's a free cable channel.
Yeah, I subscribe to it's called the Pirate Bay Network.
No Flix. You subscribe to No Flix. You subscribe to whatever Flix we give you here.
It's the $0 plan. It's $0 for a month.
That's the Pirate Bay plan. It's $0 a month, unlimited downloads.
Yeah, pretty
unlimited
much.
Unlimited
downloads.
Mm-hmm. Unlimited movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can go on Pirate Bay and get the whole Breaking Bad series.
I'm sure I can.
Now,
sure
I know that the fifth series is probably not out on DVD yet, so you could probably get HD quality on everything up to the fifth season. Then you probably have to deal with somebody's... rip off of a VOD or something, or DVR rip, which is probably just as good.
Yeah, yeah. But so this was my plan: was I
now the producers won't see any money from that. You know that.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. That's so people who were in it are going to see it. I mean, you've seen those ads at the beginning of a movie in the theater, which says, you know, piracy is not a victimless crime because they're the catering people. And the wardrobe people, just the average blue-collar people that work on films don't get, you know, as much money.
Yeah. I see the anti-drug ads, too. Kind of put them in the same category.
Meaning?
Propaganda.
It's propaganda. So there's
always truth in propaganda, but it's still propaganda.
Right.
You know.
So therefore, it doesn't matter.
What I was saying is, I downloaded it. I was going to watch it last night.
But I was saying, you downloaded it for free.
Yeah.
Right.
And you watched it for free.
I watched it for free.
Didn't you?
I watched it on AMC live on cable, which I pay for every month.
Okay.
And then the cable company pays AMC a fee that comes out of my subscription and millions of other people who subscribe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I didn't really watch it free.
Yeah.
But it's not like I had rabbit ears.
How much do you suppose a single show would cost? I was curious. Like if you were, like you have what, 250 channels?
I don't.
200 channels?
Maybe more. I don't know.
So per 250, there's probably how many shows on per day in a 24-hour period, and you pay per month? Do you think it's a penny? Maybe.
Might be. I don't know.
Might be
a penny.
Maybe.
You think?
Probably less than a penny.
No.
Probably.
You think AMC got less than a penny
per subscriber?
Yeah, per subscriber? So. Really?
Yeah, I would say so.
So, but with 20 million subscribers, those pennies add up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where the money comes from. Plus the advertising revenue.
Right, and if everybody took their money out of the bank at the same time, the bank would collapse. But that probably won't happen.
Right.
So.
Well, so what's your point?
My point is,
you're deflecting.
I get ready to watch the damn show.
The damn
I don't even get a chance to watch it. I pick up the newspaper in the morning.
Spoilers everywhere.
No, not even spoilers everywhere. On the effing cover of the Daily News, it tells you how it ends.
Yeah.
On the cover of the Daily News. No warning. No see page 3 if you want to know.
Nope.
On the cover. Boom.
Yeah.
So I went from knowing nothing about the series to knowing how it ended.
Well, what did they tell you about it ending?
Blah,
blah, blah is dead. That was it?
Basically, that was it. There was a still, a screen grab from it. We can assume everybody who's listening to this program has either seen it or doesn't care.
Well, I mean, look, it's one of those things.
Days.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. If if you were a fan, you know, you watched it. There was no, you know, there's no halfway in.
Right, but you know, but a lot of people time shift. You know, I'm not the only person. You know, some people work early in the morning. They can't watch a show at night, so they DVR it or whatever, and they watch it the next day. I think it's reasonable to expect a 24-hour grace period on spoilers.
I agree.
I don't go any farther than that. I think 24 hours is probably reasonable. Anyway, having said that, I enjoyed it. I thought it was
yeah, there you go. Yeah, there it is. There's the Daily News.
Breaking Dead.
Yeah, Breaking Dead. I mean, that really, yeah, that kind of gives it away. But, you know, I think it might have been, what did they do when The Sopranos ended, you know? I mean, it might have been the same thing.
Well, there was no ending with Sopranos, so there was nothing to spoil, really.
Well, there still was an ending. You could spoil
that there was no ending, but...
Well, there was still an ending. I mean, they could have given away, you know.
So they DVR it or whatever.
There we go. Look at that. We're live.
Sir, could you turn your radio down,
please? Yeah, I like that. I'm just checking on you, Todd. We are live at the moment.
Of course we are. I wouldn't let you down, man. I'm sorry about the computer thing. I took a picture and I tried to send it to you.
You're on my watch list. You're on my watch list. I'm going to get you next week when I see you in person for the first time in like 3 years. Right? 4 years? How long has it been?
A long time, brother.
What are you doing? Are you talking into a pillow? I can't hear you.
Sorry, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Next week, Todd, Jackalope and Movies Hate You will team up. Well, actually, Jackalope and Wild Eye, the sponsor of this show, Wild Eye Releasing, wildeyereleasing.com, will be teaming up at the Polygrind Film Festival in beautiful Las Vegas, starting on Wednesday the 9th. And that night, 6 p.m., correct me if I'm wrong, Todd, 6 p.m. will be the world premiere of Todd's new film at the Polygrind Film Festival in Las Vegas.
Beautiful.
Is it 6 p.m. or 8 p.m.?
Damn right.
It's 6 p.m.
Is it 6 or 8?
6 p.m.
I think it's 6. With Diane Thorne in attendance, Ilsa herself in attendance. Who's in the film? Is Lou Temple coming out? Lou Temple from The Walking Dead in this movie. Amazing.
I'm very excited.
Not to mention the guy from Goblin 2. Troll 2. Troll 2.
Right. Well, that ought to get two or three people.
It's got me.
Really?
You
that much of a fan?
Yeah, I love it.
I think he's awesome.
I'm not saying he's not awesome. I'm just saying, you know.
You'd be surprised, dude. The amount of mail I get because he was in it.
Troll 2 is big, man.
It is.
Troll 2 is big. I mean, there was a movie about Troll 2, a documentary. That's how big, everyone knows that. That's how big Troll 2 is. I played in theaters in New York.
Best Worst Movie, it's called.
Best Worst Movie. Although, listen, I saw Troll 2 in the 90s when it came out on VHS. I get it. I've seen it a couple times. It's definitely worth watching. But I don't know if it's Best Worst Movie. I mean, there are some real winners out there for that title.
Well, I think at the time it was number one on the bottom
100.
That's right. That's why they said it was the best worst movie. Now it's moved up since
it's moved up. It's gotten a lot of positive since then. So it's still on the list. Maybe
I think it's on the list, but it's nowhere near the bottom.
It's no Simon Says with. Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
It's no The Minis.
The Minis.
It's no The Minis with Dennis Rodman and a team of midget basketball players. I swear, I kid you not, America, Dennis Rodman lives on cinema. Really does. At the movies on cinema. That's what we're doing right here.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, you're listening to the Movies Hate You show. If you're just tuning with us, you didn't miss much because the first 15 minutes were taken up by hair metal, courtesy of Todd Sheets. He preferred to have an all 24/7 metal hair metal channel.
Listen, I take some kind of a setback with the term hair metal because I never liked the hair bands. I liked real metal, man. I liked real metal.
Oh, get out of here. I tune into your station and White Lion's on or something.
I don't play White Lion.
Come on. You program every single song on that station? Give me a break.
Well, I'm the one who downloaded them, but I don't into the system from, you know, all the sources. But I don't have the I don't claim to have any White Lions, so therefore we wouldn't have any on the station.
Give me a break. I tuned in one afternoon and Cinderella was on. You know, Nobody's Fool, Cinderella. Come on.
That's Amanda. That's her fault.
Oh, okay. So there is hair metal on the station.
You know, it sticks with the princesses.
Yeah. No, it's a band. It's a hair metal band from the 80s from Philly.
How can we tell if they're hair metal if we're just listening to them?
Well,
it's kind of a video term, isn't it?
Not really. I mean, there's a certain tone to hair metal as opposed to the other subgenres of metal. Right, Todd?
Kind of, yes.
Kind of. Hair metal tends to be more, would you say, melodic?
Yeah, maybe, but it's also like crap.
Yeah, I mean, hair metal tends to, like, take metal.
And take away the balls.
Hair metal's just a little more gay. Yeah? Would that be accurate?
I would think that's pretty accurate.
Right, so it's not like tough guy music. But the thing is, they all have hair. So if I say hair metal, then I'm talking about Iron Maiden, because they have hair.
But you can't be talking about Iron Maiden, because they're the greatest band of all time!
Yeah, but at one point they were hair metal. I mean, you know,
they were
there
never
was that,
hair metal.
Was that Stranger in a Strange Land was kind of... And the one with the Egyptian-themed cover. That I don't know. They were folding a little bit to the popular
metal. You've lost your damn mind.
I have lost my mind. You can't tell me that those albums, was it Power Slave and whatever the other one was.
Most brilliant albums of all time.
I mean, even Priest gave in, you know, Turbo Lover. I mean, they were even submitting to the hair metal.
Yeah, they were awful.
Even Priest bent over for the hair metal. You kind of have a Rob Halford type haircut.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, you really do.
I'm considering letting myself go bald on top.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of Breaking Bad kind of thing.
A little, you know? Right. You got to grow the goatee as well.
Yeah.
So did you have anything else to say about Breaking Bad now that you've seen the finale, but yet nothing else in the series? If you had to explain to me what the series was about, explain it to me. Just seeing the finale. Forget they don't say a science teacher makes meth. We know that.
Well, here's the thing I didn't know about it. And I had to talk to some guys at work who have watched everything just to check my... Just like, did I catch this right? Or, I didn't know he had cancer.
Okay.
That was never even brought up in the finale. So
okay.
That was off the table. So here's what I didn't understand was why he... felt like he needed to die, because the whole episode is leading towards this. He's tying up loose ends, he's making sure everybody, his family's taken care of, blah blah blah, so that he can die. And that's what I didn't get. It was like, why does he have to die? Can't he just escape?
Right
now I know.
Right.
Okay, so that wasn't...
You're dead anyway.
He's dead anyway.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
But not only that, the character went from good to bad to sort of good at the end. So there's a point in this last episode where he, or you would say, not necessarily in the last episode, but there's a point where he goes into hiding in this season, and then he has to make his way back to Albuquerque from where he's hiding, which is on the East Coast. So, and it's a drive. So there's a point there that perhaps he's come to terms with the fact that he's a bad guy, and he knows he has to die as a bad guy. He's created such a mess of everything, and you have to watch the whole series to see that. And he's in the hopes of helping his family, he has utterly destroyed them. That it is his penance that he has to... He must die. He must die. You know, in a... Not to apply a religious kind of thing to it, but just in a justice kind of way. And he does. We need the scene you saw in the finale where he goes to see his wife, and it's this moment of contrition where he says to her, she goes, I don't want to hear it again about how you did this for the film. He goes, I did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I was good at it. It's the first time in the whole series that the man ever says that.
I sort of got that.
Yeah.
The way it was written, it sort of felt like
the whole thing was he's a swallow this poor science teacher with no money. He was he's brilliant, brilliant mind. He had an opportunity to become a billionaire, and for some reason that's never explained. It's one thing that's not explained. Did not, you know, that's you saw he met some of the people who mm-hmm. he was partners with. The couple, the rich couple, mm-hmm. and he was involved with that woman, but we don't know what happened. Anyway, so he becomes a science teacher in a very meager living, but then he gets cancer, no money to pay for it. Yeah. The show that couldn't exist if we had universal healthcare, but and that's not an endorsement for universal healthcare. Asterisk. Anyway, I'm boring everybody with this because everyone who's seen it knows.
Mm.
But I'm telling you. What was I getting at?
I don't know.
I don't know what I was saying.
Anyway,
yes, he's a science teacher who gets cancer, and he almost like, hey, I got to raise X amount. He figures it out. I got to raise X amount of money to see that my family's fine because I'm going to be dead in 3 months. But the cancer goes in remission, and the taste of that little success, the one thing he's actually really good at is making meth better mm-hmm. than anyone else in the world. So, you know, you see him over the course of the series be used by people, cartels and drug dealers and other people, blah, blah, blah. But you see him slowly, he becomes the bad guy. He's the good guy, kind of like the humble, like a shucks kind of guy, and it becomes the vicious killer, but he never loses that. There's this, even when he did like tough guy stuff, there's always a little bit of comedy in it, in a sense. There's always a little bit of humor, and there's always a little bit of, you couldn't help but laughing at him because he was always dressed like a professor doing this like murder thing or so, you know what I mean? It was always like very, you know, it was so beautifully done, because I think everyone can relate to that guy. Everyone can relate to him.
I wonder if the show plays better in the Midwest, where meth is actually more prevalent. I mean, because I don't, on the East Coast, I don't think people really do meth.
Sure they do.
Maybe, yeah. But I just don't know them.
But I mean, I don't think it's huge.
Yeah.
Huge elsewhere in the country. Yeah. I don't know, Todd, how huge is meth in Kansas City? I would imagine a lot.
Meth capital of America, brother.
Is it really?
It really is.
I can hear myself. Can you shut your radio off?
I don't have it on, man.
Do you have meth right now, Todd?
Yeah, are you cooking meth right now? I mean, he's got to be cooking meth. How else does the station stay on the air?
Mm-hmm. No meth. Gotta call, draw a line somewhere, guys.
I smell a spinoff. Breaking Wind. Breaking something.
Can you hear yourself?
Yeah.
You hear it? Yeah. Todd, fix the equipment, all right? I can hear myself.
Tell Skype.
Hey, you
not
know,
Skype.
Hey, you know, Fred the Elephant Boy is waiting for us to
is
to,
he?
To be patched in. We should patch
about
him in.
8 minutes we'll bring him
see
in.
See what
about 8 minutes we'll bring him in.
Yeah?
Why, you done? You got nothing else?
Yeah, nothing else.
Nothing else? What about the Dexter ending?
I didn't see Dexter.
Horrible. Did you ever watch Dexter?
Never watched Dexter. I watched 6 Feet Under.
Not the same thing.
I don't watch Todd? Dexter either, sorry.
God, you guys are supposed to be horror guys. You know, watch Dexter.
It's not on purpose. We just don't. We just don't do it.
What's that?
We just don't. I guess we just don't watch Dexter.
Who's we?
Any of us fanboy types.
Big horror guys.
Yeah.
Big horror guys don't watch Dexter. Oh, that's okay. You didn't miss anything with that finale. You talk about apples and oranges. I can't do this tonight. I can't do this tonight. God, bring Fred in. I can't. I'm sorry. I don't know. I think Todd just put me in a bad mood with this whole thing, and I think I was under the weather when we started.
Let's see what Fred has to say about Breaking Bad. Or
does he watch television?
We don't know. These are questions we can ask. And if anybody would like to call in and join in,
yeah, why don't you call in with your Breaking Bad predictions for the finale? 310-928-7857.
Or 310
Don't confuse it. They don't call in when you say the numbers. Don't even say it, because they don't call in when you say the numbers. Or you can send us an email, movieshateyou@gmail.com. We'll be checking that email.
Operators are standing by.
Operators are standing. Fred is standing by. Fred is going to take your call if you call in. Call in. Why not? You got something to plug? Call in. Let's hear about it. You got a theory on Breaking Bad? Let's hear about it. I don't know. I just feel like everybody's got a Breaking Bad thing. I've been Breaking Bad-ed out. I don't want to. Don't call us with Breaking Bad stuff. I'm sick of it. It's over. Loved it. Nothing you can say or do is ever going to match the caliber of creative energy on that show. So don't even bother me with it. Really, you can't match it. Your theories are garbage.
How about a gay parody of Breaking Bad? Break Bad Mountain.
Break Bad. Kind of thing. I think there is already a XXX parody of Breaking Bad. I mean, it's a XXX parody of everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think
Breaking,
there is
what would that be called?
The Walking Dead XXX parody just came out this week.
No way.
Yeah. The Walking Dead.
Gotta see that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. You want to see the trailer?
Maybe, you know. I'm just maybe kidding. A little. Turn the lights down a little bit. Maybe light some candles.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, why not? You know.
Well, I just don't like to watch that kind of stuff with you around. Because you never know. You're going to get excited. It's going to become very bad, and we're live on the air.
Yeah, it only lasts a few minutes, though.
You're listening to the Movies Hate You Show, sponsored by WildEyeReleasing.com.
Wild Eye Releasing.
How about that phone number I just sent you three times on a text? You gonna call him up, Todd?
I'm calling it.
You ever gonna produce this show? Maybe just once? Maybe just once? In Vegas.
Nice.
We'll see in Vegas. I don't care if you were in the hospital. I'm gonna punch you in the gut.
Hello.
Fred, welcome. Welcome to the Movies Hate You Show.
How you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
We're doing very good.
We got a late start. We didn't start until about a quarter past, so we're running a little bit late with the show.
Yeah.
But how are you?
I'm doing okay. As is. I don't know if you noticed, but during the day I'm a federal employee and I got four lungs.
You work for the government, right?
Yes.
And so
only for part of the day, but now I am being furloughed until we get our appropriation. You know, hopefully they get things settled in Congress soon.
Yeah, you know, you were actually the first person I was thinking of, because I don't know anybody else who works, I think, in the government, so...
That's all.
And maybe I could do some part-time at your theater.
Yeah. Well...
Yeah.
Wow!
I just hope, once they make that point, you know, hopefully they get a little more reasonable and set of it, because it's making us look bad to the rest of the world.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, what are we? It's going to happen a couple of days. Well, somebody's going to back down.
I think sooner or later, somebody's going to back down, and it's usually Republicans, because no matter what they do, America's going to have Obamacare, and there's no way of stopping it. Hopefully,
sure.
I'm meeting up the points between those two parties.
Now, the Obamacare isn't going to really affect you, right? Do you have
No, I have insurance, Yeah, so my workplace, it really won't matter to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about Breaking Bad. Did you watch Breaking Bad? Are you a fan?
No, I don't have short time, so I never develop my interest in it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I had never seen an episode until I watched the series finale. And I think I was able to understand it.
The thing is that, you know, all right, fine. You watch the season finale. You don't even know who Saul is. Saul Goodman.
I don't know who Saul is.
Saul Goodman, the best character on that show. You missed him.
He wasn't in the episode.
Bob Odenkirk.
I saw his Saul name in Goodman. The credits, and I said, "Oh, I love Bob Odenkirk."
He doesn't show up in the end. He doesn't show up in the last episode. He's in the episode previous.
And he's in a spinoff. They're spinning him off.
They're spinning him off into his own show. Better Call Saul,
yeah.
Which is his tagline in the, you know, billboards. And he's a cheesy lawyer, but he's brilliant.
Yeah.
But he's actually one of the few characters on the show who actually does what he claims he can do. He actually is connected. You know, he comes off as adult, but is actually very good at what he does.
Mm.
And he's dirty. He's a dirty lawyer. Good dirty lawyer. It's good to have a good dirty lawyer.
It is.
So, you missed it.
There you go. Well, hey,
I mean, you could go to YouTube and find, like, just best, you know, Saul lines from Breaking Bad. And you could just see, like, all his best line. He doesn't write them either. They were in the script. Though his delivery, his brilliant. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go back and start at the beginning, and I'll watch the whole...
So tell the people who may be listening for the first time who Fred is, and you can review a couple movies for us here.
Yeah, Fred, in case you don't know, I can't imagine what planet you're living on if you don't know who Fred the Elephant Boy, Fred Schreiber is. Fred has been a regular Whack Pack member on the Howard Stern radio show and television show, where I first came into contact with you was on what we call the Channel 9 show.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! Years ago.
Yeah, when was that? That was late '80s, is that right, or early '90s?
No, when I began probably in mid to late '90s, but I'm not sure exactly where.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, boy, I used to watch that show every week, and it was just. For my money, it was the best thing on television. I mean, it was funnier, more risque than Saturday Night Live. It had sort of homegrown, local television quality that I love. I mean, I love public access TV and whatnot. The Uncle Floyd Show, it had a bit of that to it.
Yeah.
So Fred has been off and on... Were you the first Whack Packer, Fred?
There may be others before me, but there was Quentin to start with, Celeste, who was back at the Magic Passion. You know, we talk about all time. I first came on to show in 1988, I believe. So it's been like almost 45 years. Oh my goodness!
Maybe
25 years.
Do you have a favorite moment in all that? Since
my biggest moment was during the Cleveland funeral, I was there to introduce the cast, but the crowd was so loud and they didn't give me any info, so I couldn't hear myself, so I sounded like a lunatic, like a crazy person.
Whose funeral was this?
At the Cleveland funeral.
Oh, the Cleveland.
When Howard Stern, number one in Cleveland.
Well, that wasn't the Grease Man, was it?
No.
Somebody else.
Chris Miller was in Philadelphia.
Okay.
No, it's like Tabata. Yeah. So, no, Christmas was Washington, D.C. I remember now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Now, I remember you also on the pay, some of the pay-per-views, like the U.S. Open Sores. I think that
And that was a lot of fun to be in. Because I said, no other DJ or radio personality ever did anything so grand at this. So it was something that was so original, and you know, and it was so great to be in.
For sure.
Definitely.
I think, you know, history will show that Howard Stern, I'm not saying this just because I'm a fan, but I think he's done more for radio than probably anybody else, and he's probably the greatest interviewer of anyone. I mean, he gets things out of people that nobody else could or would.
Believe me, it is not with me.
You're in the movie too, right?
You cannot go into your studio and try to keep a secret. He found it, and he managed to put it out of you.
Right.
So if there's something that you want, hustles, you know, do not go on Howard and try to hide your secret.
Right. It's almost like you're injected with truth serum when you walk in the
studio.
Have you seen anything this week? Any movies that you'd like to talk about?
I do see Don John and Rush.
And
a Dummy the Rock Band.
and which one?
I said, I also saw Rush, and I don't mean the Rock Band.
Oh, not the band, Rush.
Oh,
yes. Car racing film, Rush.
Now, there was another movie called Rush, wasn't there?
There was a very good movie called Rush in the late 80s.
Jason Patrick
mm-hmm. and Jennifer Jason Leigh. Very good.
They're undercover cops, and they become drug addicts.
They become drug addicts undercover in the 70s, you know, against a very nasty Greg Allman.
So how is Rush? Rush is the Ron Howard.
Rush was very good. It was good. We thought to talk about Rush. It got a little better, but once they got onto track, it was compelling. I do have a mixed feeling because if you remember when the trailer first came out, the first one was over a year ago, and that trailer was so boring as hell that it didn't interest me in the bit. But for the last couple of months, when it got closer to the release day, they just drag out the marketing, and it was a lot better than what you see on the trailer.
Now, do you think you have to be a race car fan to enjoy this? Because
because to me, what is Grand Prix races? It's a car corner around a track, and you see you see the same action 100 times, during the course of a race. So that could be boring, but they got a good story between these two drivers. It was very competitive with its author. As I said, the movie, it, it was with good characters.
I'm kind of with you.
I don't remember the name of the Austria travel. He was very competitive with his performance, like he could be the next Christopher Ross. I was very impressed with him.
So didn't Ron Howard make another race car movie with Tom Cruise? Days of Thunder, was that him? We got our research.
Ron Howard did Eat My Dust.
Right. Yeah, Quinn took up his name.
Now, that's here, right. Listen, if I want to see a Ron Howard racing movie, I'm going to go to the library here at the Movies Hayes Studio and get Grand Theft Auto or Eat My Dust. Roger Corman produced Ron Howard racing movies. That's all I'm saying. I must say it's a bad movie, but Formula One racing is about as interesting to me as watching a opera. It's like soccer. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, it's just never going to go over here. Like, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I can get people to go see a NASCAR movie, let alone a Formula One.
Those movies are big. I mean, Cars, the Pixar movie was big. What's the Talladega Nights? That was a big hit, right?
Talladega Nights. That was the comedy.
That's a comedy. Will Ferrell.
That's a comedy. Is that big?
I think. You know, we fool ourselves into thinking that the country's like us.
No.
And actually, most of the country is into NASCAR. They're into
second biggest sport in the country. I'm not saying that racing is not important to the Americans. Cars are very important to America. They always have been. But I'm saying car movies don't seem to be. I mean, name a car movie that was. My favorite car movie's Tucker. With Jeff Bridges.
Herbie the
Love Bug. That was big. That was big when I was a kid. That was big. What about Black Moon Rising? That was big.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones, man. John Carpenter script. Huh? Do you know that, Todd Horror Man?
Is that Tony Scott, too? No.
No.
That's Ridley Scott.
That's Ridley.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott.
The other Scott.
You mix those Scotts up.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, let me just hold on the line, Fred. Don't go anywhere. We are coming down to the end of the Movies Hate You show for the live listening audience. But for the archive audience, we're going to go a little bit longer, and you're going to listen to us in the archives if you're interested. But we're going to be signing off in a couple minutes here. Is that correct, producer man?
It is, but we're continuing on.
We're continuing on. So you're going to hear us cut off while we're talking, which is awesome. And then... if you want to hear us, come back to the archives in about 6 or 7 years when it's up there, and you can listen to it. And it's the October 1st, 2013 show. Not our best show, but still a good show.
I dig it.
Fred, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so if you want to hear the next movie Fred's going to review, you're going to have to come into the archives. But this is the Movies show, sponsored by Wild Eye Releasing. Thank you for listening, and we're continuing. Next movie is
Don John.
Don John.
Don John.
Yeah.
Don John. Now this movie looks weird and interesting, and I say weird in that it seems like such a vanity project for its star and director Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
It was a vanity project. It was kind of like a shop saying, everybody dies, but nobody wants to talk about it. And it sounds like watching porn. You know,
you're so masturbating porn.
As I say, many people do it, but very little talk about it. So it was like unpleasant for me to sit for by, you know, by he was in a Johnson Life Corte Gaffin is all, you know, and for me it works. You see what you go through and the problem is addiction. It's not as time for Miss Girl, Master Pet to Paul, for Lucy Girl. So, it's a very basic story, but it was good performances.
Now, Joseph Gordon-Levitt wrote and directed.
He's
just starring in
it. Yeah, he did everything with it.
I have a quick, semi-funny Joseph Gordon-Levitt story. Someone that I worked with was closing up for the night and noticed a certain weed smell wafting towards him, and he saw somebody standing sort of in a doorway smoking a joint, and my friend thought, oh, maybe I'll walk over there and you know, ask if I can take a puff. And when he got over there, it was Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So
allegedly
he's a weed guy.
Allegedly.
He actually admitted that he's a weed guy on Stern, so.
But still, I guess Jackalope's coming in with the music now at 8 o'clock. I'm not, I don't like to accuse celebrities of doing drugs here on our show.
Where should we do it?
You could do it in your private life. You can get your own radio show.
Allegedly.
You could go on your soapbox in the middle of Times Square and do it. But, we don't want to. What if it wasn't him? What if your guy just suspected it was him, and then that Levitt loses a job because somebody hears this?
Well,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt admitted on how he does the weed, and so I don't think it's like a secret. If it's something to celebrity admit it's faking.
Yeah,
it's a medicine cigarette, they say.
If I hadn't heard that interview with him where he talked about doing smoking weed, I probably wouldn't have even brought it up.
Right.
Because I agree with you. There's no reason to.
Yeah, why should you say that? Come on. But you're right. Okay, so he's admitted it. So I'm sure everybody has a story where they've ran into him with weed involved. Mm. That's possible.
Maybe, yeah.
It could be possible. The how's Tony Danza in the movie, Fred?
What's that?
How's Tony Danza in the film? He's in the film, right?
He was in it. I thought he was the weakest character because he played like an old-fashioned Italian father. Always divorced with the four-letter words, but if it starts to say the same thing, he's like a Jackson. It was just a thought role for me. I was impressed with that. It was nice to see him in the movie, but after that, it was probably for the paycheck.
Okay. Do you think now Ben Affleck has a little bit of competition with Levitt becoming an actor director?
I think Joseph needs to make a more general movie, because like I said before, this wasn't his fancy project. So he did like a good job. I wanted to a Ben Affleck movie was more compelling. The Town was an Argo. First was, you know, fantastic movies. Both was, I think, Joseph needs to build up a little more history.
Gotcha. So this is a much more smaller kind of personal, one-on-one person type film, where Argo, The Town, Gone Baby Gone, right? These are more mainstream kind of bigger stories, more mass appeal.
Yeah, that's it. And it's a good start for him, but let's see what he can do next.
Gotcha.
He needs to do a superhero franchise.
He should be Robin. He should. In the Batman movies.
He is, in a way, Robin. I mean, at the end of the Dark Knight, he basically turns into Robin.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's Robin. So, yeah, that was the
Well, he's going to take over.
Mm. You know, he's going to take over for Batman while Batman's off having coffee in Europe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think he'll show up in the reboot as Ben Affleck's sidekick? There you go. There would be to see right there, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Ben Affleck. Two actor directors teaming up.
Who's going to direct
as Batman and Robin? Well, Zack Snyder will direct it. But see, Superman needs a sidekick. They need to bring in like that little white dog that he used to have with the
Crypto.
Crypto. Mm-hmm. Crypto. Or Jimmy Olsen. Do we have a Jimmy Olsen in this
one? Never had a Jimmy Olsen. No.
In the new Superman, there was no Jimmy Olsen, right?
No.
Why is that?
There's really no Daily Planet. I mean,
sure there is.
Well, there is, but it's not.
No, there's somebody on the case that would. Love interest reporters trying to track down the real story of this guy who does all these amazing things.
How about Seth Green as Jimmy Olsen?
Seth Green.
Perfect.
I love it. Perfect. Seth Green. Wow, that would be fantastic. No, you know who would be a good Jimmy Olsen? The guy who played Todd on Breaking Bad. You don't know who that is.
He wasn't in the finale.
Right? He was killed in the finale.
He was.
See, you don't even
know
who he was.
Which guy was he?
The one that Jesse took out with the chain.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He'd be a good Jimmy Olsen. Mm-hmm. But see, you don't know his character. He's from Friday Night Lights anyway. But listen, we're going to let you catch up. 62 episodes from now, you and I will come back on, and we can have a whole episode talking about Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But right now is the wrong time.
Really?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. For you. It's not the wrong time. It's the perfect time. It's the only time anybody's going to be interested. It just ended 2 days ago. But for you, having not seen the series, you might not even like it. You might not want to talk about it. You say, I know how it ends. You're like 30 episodes in, you're like, I really don't feel it. I know how it ends.
Yeah.
So Don John, I won't see because of this. It says that Don Martello, who is Gordon Levitt, he meets a woman who he believes to be the most beautiful woman he has ever seen, and that would be Scarlett Johansson. So right there, the movie's completely unbelievable. Mm.
You're not a Scarlett fan.
You got to be a come on, man, really?
I think she's sexy, but
Scarlett is sexy, right. But this, she's
beautiful?
Like
beautiful. No,
yeah, no, she's not beautiful. She's like these. I mean, listen, any night in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, you go, and these girls are a dime bag a dozen. You got 20, 30 of them walking down the street. They all look like her. It's all the same thing. There's nothing movie star about her at all. Mm. You know, no offense, Miss Johansson. I really don't care what you think of me, but I don't get it. I don't get it, you know. With all due respect, you put yourself out there, so I'm telling you how I feel.
Yeah. Hey, look, I don't get Angelina Jolie. I don't find her...
I could see that more than I could see that.
I don't know. I don't get it.
You know? I just, you know.
Fred, are we wrong about this?
Yeah. What's your take on Johansson?
I think Scarlett Johansson, I remember as a child actor from The Horse Whisperer, and from there I can see see her doing bigger things. I found her very attractive. But in that movie, she spoke with a Brooklyn accent, you know, and that made how stuff went down. You know, she was, for the lack of a better word, a good date, you know, like a female Guido. Yes. She's a looker, you know, and I think she's one of the most attractive actresses in Hollywood.
Who's your number one?
I don't know who's number one. I said one of them. If you give me names, I probably can recall. I don't have a list at the top of my head.
Mila Kunis.
But she's on top there. If not number one, she's there.
Well, Scarlett Johansson, she's no Claire Danes. That's all I have to say. There's beauty and then there's cute. You see what I'm saying? Todd, how are we doing on time? I just don't want to get cut off here. He probably shut us down so long ago.
I think we got about 1 minute.
We got 1 minute? I'm looking at. Todd, are you with us? Todd?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, wake up, man.
I'm trying to get the damn thing to pick up.
What do we got here? How much time?
You got like 3.5 minutes. Oh,
there you go.
Total.
No. Plenty of time. Anything can happen in 3.5 minutes.
Excuse me. Okay, so that's it. We got 2 movie reviews. We got Don John.
Sorry, Don Johnson.
Don John starring Don Johnson now 25 years ago, maybe. Okay, let's say 35 years ago.
Yeah.
They would be the same age. 25 years ago, Don Johnson was still old.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay. We got Don John and we got Rush. Not to be confused with the movie that came out called Rush in the 80s about drugs. Or the Rush movie that came out, the live concert documentary movie that came out.
Or the stuff that comes in the bottles.
Or that stuff that
was our drug
of
choice in the 80s.
That was your drug of choice was to loosen up the muscles, right?
No.
It's a gay guy thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
You would take it to loosen up your back
end. You
would
know more than I would?
No, I would!
I
wouldn't because I've never even tried it.
Really?
But you say use as our drug of choice in the 80s. Who's our? Who's
this
we drug of choice?
In
you and who?
In junior high school.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, 8th, 9th, 10th grades. This was the drug of choice.
Was that in the gay school that
you could buy it at head shops.
Yeah, you probably still can. It's legal. It's not against the law.
And what it did to you was it made you black out. That's all I remember. Is you sniffed it, and it's kind of like the old kind of magic marker, El Marcos.
El Marcos.
You know, and
yes.
you take off the cap and you sniff it, and all it did was it made you black out. You couldn't see for 15 seconds.
Right.
That was it. Whee!
Well, that's not what Rush does, though.
That's what Rush does, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I remember.
I heard it was used, and that's why you can find it on the shelves at adult stores. Not that I've been to one lately, but it helps it relaxes your muscles so that you're more apt to receive punishment.
And let's say an enema or something.
An exam, something from the rear.
Mm.
That's how it's been explained to me.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, I've never tried it, and
you
probably
don't need
never
it,
will.
Is what you're saying.
I don't need it.
Yeah.
I'm so open to anything.
Sure.
I am completely immune to Rush, and you are immune to good radio. So with that, Fred, we are wrapping up. Thank you so much for joining us.
I have a great time tonight.
Hey man, it's always a great time when you come on, and we love having you on. And we hope to have you back. Keep going to the movies. We'll keep bringing you on. Yeah. Get some more reviews and catch up on Breaking Bad. You and Lee should get together and catch up on Breaking Bad.
It's
62 hours.
I want to have anything to do for the next couple of days or more, so maybe I'll do that.
You guys catch up on Breaking Bad, and next week we will pick up we'll find out about the whole season from both of you.
No, next week we're off the air, right?
Oh, that's right. We are off the air next week because Todd and I are at the Polygrind Film Festival in beautiful Las Vegas, home of Ted Michaels and the late, great Ray Dennis Steckler. Hmm. We will be in their hometown and premiering Todd's new film, House of Forbidden Secrets, starring Diane Thorne, Ilsa herself, who will be there at the festival at the screening of the film, and Lou Temple from The Walking Dead. Go find out who he is. Don't ask me. And that's it for the Movies Hate You Show. Fred, thank you. Mr. Reed, thank you. Todd, thank you. It's been a real pleasure. And we'll see you in Vegas.
So long.
So long. Arrivederci.